Before we get into the semen and the coming off, should we invite people back to the episode?
Oh, okay. Welcome back, to the episode. Sorry. You know what I mean. Oh, a sneeze is coming.
Coming off.
I'm about to come off.
Come off.
You see, you've traced it away now.
Sorry, I hate that. I have to look at lights to make me do it. I'm so sweating already.
Oh, big news here in the studio.
You tell.
There's a cake directly in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
Purchased by our gorgeous Sarah. And the cake is a classic super value. You know, the sprinkles on the side.
Love it.
Swirly, swirly whirlies on the top and bottom. Then on the very top is the Creep Dive logo. A real one.
It's really stunning. Bringing a tear
and
to
it
my
says, congratulations on 1,000 patrons and almost, what does it say there?
And 100 unofficial episodes.
Jesus, guys.
And 100, I mean, unofficial episodes. I want to make that official because they're official to us.
We've made 100
episodes. We've made 100 episodes.
101.
Only 1,000 of you have access to all 100.
And a million of you.
Well, actually 966 today because there's always that drop off on payday.
You fuckers. Everyone's like, it's happening to me too.
May.
Yeah, you're like, oh fuck, I'm reminded that I'm logged into this stupid thing. And people are like, oh, got to get off that. You shouldn't though, because
I have to get off one of mine though. You know I do.
Like, oh, you
one
do.
Of mine is a drain. It's my children are actually suffering for it because I've got like this monthly outlay of about a tenner to a patron.
10 quid.
That I want to be. I want to be a part of it, but I also
10 euro I keep, to one.
Oh, because I know what happened to you. Yeah,
yeah.
You made a big deal about getting onto it,
and then
and now you can't come off it.
I can't. I'm not coming. I need to come off. I need to.
Why if
I
you intend
in the fruit section of the supermarket assessing the price of fresh berries for my children, and then thinking of that patron payment and being like. No fresh berries for the spawn.
If we've learned anything from this 34 people drop off, it's that we don't get alerted or noted when people drop off. There is a way to go in and find it, but like, who'd be bothered?
Jennifer O-D-W-Y-E-R.
I'm fucking bothered. I'm up there looking. I'm checking it.
To see who's dropped off.
I'm like, fuck you, Claire. Fuck you, David.
Sinead,
how dare you? I'm there. You know,
is this where we are?
You think you're doing a see you gone by ghosting? You're not. I know your name.
She knows potentially where you live if you supply that.
Oh, I see what we do.
Let's not stay in the negative.
Actually, in fact, Cassie got this.
There's quite
sorry, we're actually probably on 1,500 patrons if we include the former ones.
They have their own Reddit thread. About how good it is to be free.
Oh my god,
scuzzy bitches.
3 pages. Oh,
okay. Stop. We're all good. I'm sad for them.
Me too.
Okay. They don't get all the in jokes. Only about 4 people do.
I have a whopper creep for you, and I lost.
Oh, exciting!
Almost. No, it's not. The whole week, I've been
like
submerged.
You've just been marinating in it. Basting yourself.
It was an everyday, I'd say, it was an unbelievable. Basically, what happened was I lifted the scab of something.
Oh, delicious.
And then I was like, there is a lot of stuff in here and I can't look away.
Oh my God, divine.
I couldn't look away. And I'd also sort of surprised then to not have sort of heard of it. That's, you know.
That literally just reminded me to check in with the little scab that I was working on the back of my neck.
Oh, yes.
Gone though.
Oh.
Sad.
An actual scab.
Oh, here's how I got involved in my story though. And I'm thinking of how did I get to the scab?
Oh yeah, I love the journey.
Wait for this. So, chipped my front tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can
unknown
we see,
thing.
Fixie?
Only, well, wait for this.
Yeah.
Don't know how. Looked in the mirror. Was like, shit, that's quite kind of a substantial looking chip. I'm going to have to go back to the fucking dentist. Then I was like, maybe I could do an old DIY job here. Then I was thinking like, oh, what's the dentist going to do? Only file down the tooth a bit. I could do that myself. So then I was like, then I Googled, can you file down your own teeth?
Own teeth, filing, implement.
And you can.
Excellent.
So I got a nail file and I just filed it down. And that
a
was
nail
a success.
File did it?
It did.
I believe that, yeah.
Because I was
yeah,
picturing.
Anything is perfect.
Do you know the way
It's like cutting your fringe, though, Sophie.
You'd often wrap the sandpaper around a block of wood.
You would, yeah.
And like, I was picturing something more heavy duty.
Yeah, no. You'd need a nail file for this.
Oh, it's giving me the heebie-jeebies. Do you know the feeling problem? In your nerves when like something's
chalkboard.
In your
head. Oh. Mm. Now, the thing about it is, it's sort of somewhat addictive. Because, you know, like you're cutting the fringe.
Just even them up a little bit.
Exactly.
So here was I going hell for leather, like just 2 seconds more.
That's
just
how you'll end up with the peg teeth, Jen.
Well, speaking of peg, and this is how my single search for can you file your own teeth led me to my creep.
Oh, I love this method of creep sourcing. Because I do it a lot, as you know, where I'll just be like doing...
Random Google of a thing.
Decapitate... And you let Google, like, decapitate horse, decapitate donkey, decapitate self. And that's how I got to that awesome self-decapitation story that I don't even think I ever bothered telling on the Creep Dive. I think we just were chatting.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's go. What's your clickbait headline? Or was that it? Your longest one
yet? It sort of was.
84 words. Yeah. It's like a Fiona Apple album title. What do you have?
I have a story of a woman who made up her entire life on the internet. Just plain and simple, classic creep.
Classic.
Involves a bit of YouTube, involves a momager, involves some questionable behaviour, maybe some child trafficking. We'll see.
Sophie, what do you have for us this week?
I have a combined... Yeah, I have a kind of a catfish. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I've got a catfish. Also classic.
So this is my creep dive. His name was Pazuzu.
Excellent. Now, Pazuzu was the demon in The Exorcist.
And that is what gave him the idea. And slap for a high five from you.
For my general knowledge.
So Pazuzu is a Mesopotamian kind of god who was head of the demons, specifically of wind. It's not that frightening as a concept. Well, I'm sure like a tornado could be kind of demonic, but it just
angry wind,
and not a kind of a gastro and you know gastro demon,
like a shit demon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
the shit spirit.
So here now I will tell you the story. Mm-hmm. We are in the early 90s. Where the scene is. So our Pazuzu,
I love creeps of the early 90s.
Is Pazuzu
Al. Because the production values are on the fucking floor. God. Everyone's rank in the early 90s. Well, remember, we were all really ugly together. Sorry.
Yeah.
Peg Teeth was only just coming into the world. Peg Teeth spawned by the early 90s.
Saddened her. It's just me.
But thank God, take the peg teeth thing.
Me neither. But that's what makes it so irresistible.
It's always on the edge of like, are we really hurting her?
It hurts. It does hurt a little bit. I'm delighted that I'm in a position now where I have had multiple rounds of veneers to fix the peg teeth. And thankfully, I had to go and find those photographs for you to send them to you to show you.
Did you not see them, sir?
So we'll put them they don't exist patron. On the internet.
If you pay for it, you can have it.
Oh, my God. If we get 12. No, that's too low. I'm lowballing myself.
OK, so anyway, back to my story.
We get 1,000 new patrons, I will post the peg teeth pictures.
I can tell you now, it's worth it.
And Sophie and Jen will post their nudes.
Not worth it. So I got sucked down into... So I was watching a video on how to file your teeth down.
Yeah.
And I was then served something I might be interested in.
Of course.
And this was I don't know how many fucking parts it was. It was probably about six parts. It was a six-part documentary from Vice. And I was like...
Oh, for real.
Already in.
I'm totally in.
About people who file their own teeth?
Well, about this particular guy, Pazuzu. So the documentary was really good, but way too long. Hence my whole fucking week disappearing. You know, when the episode was an hour long, it was just unbelievably endless. And there was, you know, there was a pretty good story in there, but they were milking it. So they had a great team that they interviewed. So they had... the kind of narrator of the whole story was this guy who was he was a journalist for the local paper. Really smart, incredibly articulate, kind of grungy dad man. Knew everything about this case. So he sort of told us the whole story. Bit of background on Pazuzu. You probably need to know what he looks like. He looks fucking dreadful. He's tattooed poorly across his whole face. He's the ultimate peg. He's filed his teeth down with the Dremel bit.
It's
on a,
so creepy into, looking, isn't it? The snake
a drill
teeth.
Bit.
He did it. A DIY. Sophie, dentistry is just fucking easy.
Don't put that out there.
Anyway, so he created, like, you know, this is his demonic... Okay, bit of background on himself. Real name,
oh my
John
God.
Alexander.
I mean, he's gone for the no brows, which, I mean, you don't even virtually need any of the teeth filing or sort of... The tattooing, I would say, is kind of sketchy. More like doodles.
It looks a little bit just like a bit of dirt rather than a committed... He looks like exactly like...
I would say that, like... You've oversold him in terms of the horrifying, unless I'm looking at a
you
pretty.
You described him as a grungy dad.
No, that was the narrator of
the
documentary.
Sorry.
This is the bad guy. Born John Alexander in California.
He has Satan tattooed on his wrist.
He does,
yeah. Like, not wrist, his forearm.
He's just a real cliche man of the 90s. but what he ended up creating
man of the 90s.
Was a sort of cult group of people that followed him in a kind of Manson-esque kind of vibe.
Deadly.
He did this by smearing his own shit all over the walls of his house, letting everyone take a shit. It was a lot of shit focused chat in this whole documentary. His gaff just was a disaster zone, like a teenage boy, except way more scatologically focused. so all the kind of local kids in the area gather there. Anyway, I'm going on a bit. Back to the start. Kind of a bit of an outcast in school. Mm-hmm. They used to call him Shithead because he had a smell of shit about him.
So this guy's into shit. Like he's into, isn't it scat?
Scatological. Yes, I don't know.
Scatophilia.
Do you know what I did think? I thought maybe he had that thing where you, there's a kind of, it's a disorder. It's to do with a type of ketosis. Your body can't break down and you emit
a smell. Yeah.
And often I think for people it comes off as like a fish, but it can smell like different things. And certainly it can smell like feces. So then I thought maybe he had this. I didn't find anything to other than
validate that.
No, but it does sort of make sense because he was embracing, he was just... Anyway,
smelled shitty.
He had a bad time in schools. His folks split up. Him and his mother were together then. They seemed to have kind of fucking pretty intense relationship. His mother then got remarried. He was very anti the new dad figure. And the new dad figure then left as well. So that left himself and his mother in the house. And things sort of degenerated for this kid. So
at what point did he get the horrific dreads?
Later. And I think that was related to the kind of stand against washing initially, but then he was like, all right, well, maybe this is sort of my look. So anyway, he was definitely sought mental.
Obviously there is a way to have good dreads. This is not the way.
No,
just to clarify,
he was diagnosed as kind of a young guy as being both a schizophrenic and an agoraphobic. He was pretty paranoid. He didn't like to leave the house. His mum had been seeking help for him up to a point. It looks like they ran out of money.
Oh, God.
And the help stopped. And then friends started to arrive. And then Pazuzu was born. So what's fucking mad about the documentary is, I'm just going to spoil it all for you, because this is the creep dive. Not I can't. So watch it. It's definitely worth a watch, but like you can fire through the first 20 minutes of every episode because it's just a recap on the last episode. So his mother's name is Cynthia, right? Anyway, so he was an outcast. He was at home. He started kind of, mates started dropping around and he started getting really into all the drugs and the drink. And
Do not recommend.
And like the hard partying days on end, the house sort of starts to degenerate. Really nice looking kind of house in a pretty quiet neighborhood with a big garden around.
There's loads of potential there.
But the smell,
one story over basement
of
level,
feces off this place was eye watering apparently.
I just may as well tell you, I am in the image search of Pazuzu Algarard right now.
Sure. There's a whole video of a walkthrough of the house.
The pictures of the house.
Disaster.
Far worse than anything else. It's just
disastrous.
I'm looking at a clip that's, the headline is debris animal and animal carcasses.
Well, this is the thing with Pazuzu. So he was doing all the drinking and the mad shit, but he was also kind of inventing this sort of persona that involved animal sacrifice, the drinking the blood of these sacrificed animals, just fucking the carcass anywhere. There was cats hanging from a tree outside his gaff and all.
Oh, God.
So he and
Jesus,
his followers
going in really deep straight away.
Started, it was like super Satan worship. It kind of, it feels like it was a bit of a laugh at the start, but then because of his paranoid tendencies and probably his mental health, he really was believing all this shit. And then sort of as a result, so were the people around him. So he was telling these mad stories and he was also off his face and so was everyone else. So in the when they were interviewing kind of the, who would have been the teens in the area, they were like, oh, you know, yeah, we all heard about the stories, but like we didn't sort of believe them.
I feel
like
we going
to go along with it for the lols.
Yeah.
Everyone here in this house now, it's like day two of a rollover.
Mm.
And you're at a kind of a peak sesh moment where...
So
you're talking really intensely to this person who looks like this guy, but like, oh, everything he's saying is just making so much sense. And then cut to like 3 or 4 hours later, you've staggered out into the daylight.
Yeah.
And you're like, TG, I'm not back there anymore. I'll go and have an Eddie Rockets and a sleep.
Yeah.
And these people just never got to that second stage. No. They've been like, in the depths of
they're
this.
On just a rollover, rollover,
rollover,
rollover,
rollover. Roll
that's what it called.
Months
yes.
on
just
end.
A rollover.
Yeah, no probably. One is doing the bins.
No, but you know what they
there
were doing?
A sink, there isn't a dish
they
being
were
washed.
Also like doing an orgy in the middle of it.
Oh,
do you know that way? And they're like filming.
Doing an orgy.
They were sort
gross.
Of filming like each other rolling around in each other's shite and riding and shitting and there's animal blood
the
and
shit,
rotting.
I could
and
all of those things would smell so bad.
Well,
unless they put so many narcotics up their nose, it's lost the function.
Probably. But this kind of, I think, and so well, it feels like we were sort of being told that sort of the reason so terrible things happened in this house.
Okay.
There was rumours going around the neighbourhood. Rumours. Pazuzu was just telling everyone that he'd killed people and he'd buried them in his back garden.
Oh.
So everyone was like, all right, you know.
Do you know what part of the problem is, though? Pazuzu just sounds kind of whimsical.
Yeah, it does.
It's kind of cute. I feel
it's
like
it's very similar to
Zuzu
from The Lion King.
Yeah, or like, you'd have like a little, you'd get a little shih tzu and you'd be like, that's Pazuzu the shih tzu.
Yeah.
Like it's a little cute dog.
Endearing. It has kind of nice.
But is it also not just like the best kind of like double triple bluff ever that if you keep telling people that like, oh, look, I've murdered loads of people and put them in my back garden, that you'd be like,
ultimate
oh, that guy
hide and play
ever
fight.
Shut the fuck up. Like.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I agree. But the problem is that a couple of Pazuzu's wives helped him bury the bodies and cut them up. So there were other people other than, and guess like you were saying, they sort of all then were like, it was all part of the performance of this fucking mad, horrendous den of hell. So anyway.
Oh, delightful.
God. We need to put like a gag warning on this episode.
I'm feeling uneasy.
Feeling so really sick. Like.
I'm still at the shit and the animal blood together.
I need
to.
And the rolling around, the doing an orgy.
At least tell me they had plastic sheets on the ground.
Like, why is doing an orgy so much worse than having an orgy?
I don't
doing
know.
It.
You're just doing
that
it,
orgy.
You're just getting it done.
Getting her done. I keep
coming
thinking
off.
The cake might purge this, but it is also brown.
It smells
brown.
Really good and chocolatey though. Like,
so,
it's right in front of me and it smells like
so
that's my breath.
In the story, everybody in the area had heard the stories about the death and the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like everybody knew about them.
Yeah.
Not
Where
only did
we?
People know, we're in California. We're in Salem, a place, weirdly, I think it's called
Salem.
Salem,
Massachusetts?
No, I can't. Okay, I can't. I'll get
anyway,
back to you on the,
cool.
the exact location.
Sort of small town.
He's in Clemens, North Carolina.
Okay.
Right? A town... it's a hugely Christian town with traditional values, right? So imagine like the church is the center of the town. People are obsessed with God. the worst thing in the world is the devil, and they believe that the devil exists. Mm-hmm. And Pazuzu has decided that's who he is. And
the devil has descended.
Everybody's keeping, well, a lot of people are taking a wide berth, including the fucking police. So,
are you with them?
Well, that's
you hate the, being sent over to Pazuzu's gaff,
Sophie. Yeah, that's what was happening. So they were getting told. So people were making reports for years.
And so they were like, Nicks.
5 years had passed. Nicks. Yeah, exactly. So there had been reports that the police had gotten. You know, we've heard this guy, there's bodies in this guy's back garden. You know, you're a police person. You're supposed to check if there's more than one person report, and people who are sort of. Like a person you would believe coming into the police station, you'd say, okay, we should go check it out. So they didn't do it, or they went up to the house and they were like, the fucking smell of this place. God. And they were like,
unholy.
Not going in there. Oh, and then God. That's sort of where all the investigation ends from the police's perspective.
Oh my God, up what to a point. Out.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Well, I suppose there wasn't yet any missing persons.
Do you know that the there wasn't yet any missing persons, except there was. There were, what, for instance, this whole documentary kind of, it mostly just takes one of the, we don't know anything about the other victim. So I think his name is Tom and Josh were the two guys whose bodies were found. Josh was the guy they focused on. He was a really nice, a young guy who he was just a father. Do you know what happened to Josh in a typical American way? He was trying to get things going with his wife and his kids. They got into trouble financially. They got overstretched on mortgage. They couldn't pay their things. They wanted to this horse farm to rehabilitate horses. He was like, look, I'm desperate for the cash. I'm going to go. And he fucked up, right? He bought some magic mushrooms online and used his own home address.
What do we
We've
say?
We've all been there.
We don't buy things on the internet that go inside your body.
Oh. Well,
that's our rule.
I think tell
except
that
for those star bars that
some people back
sending.
In 2006.
Yeah. So Josh then ended up with a criminal record, which meant in America he couldn't get a fucking job.
Couldn't get fucking anything.
They couldn't get anything. So he was fucking anyway.
Oh no, this is so sad.
So Josh ended up kind
of
somehow
some of the friendliest of
yes,
drugs.
Exactly, Sophie. Anyway, so Josh somehow ended up crossing paths with this fucking Pazuzu guy. We're a little bit, we don't know why. Bottom line here is Pazuzu shot Josh in the back of the head and then shot him another 8 times.
Okay, that just jumped from we don't know how they met to he got shot in the head.
Oh my God.
But that's all we know.
Right.
Josh was a new dad. Like Josh had this son at home and him and his ex they were trying to make it work. So she is a big player in the documentary. And she talks about, you know, so 5 years had passed since Josh disappeared completely.
No.
From her perspective, he was just a missing person.
He was just a deadbeat dad.
She
who'd fucked off.
Yes. She had heard rumors. Somebody had been to her house to say, I think Josh's body is buried in the garden of this fucking Pazuzu guy.
Oh my God.
She had gotten nowhere with the police.
The
fucking assholes. Not only that, they were destitute because she had this son. They would have got life insurance payments for Josh's death had he had a death certificate.
Dead, but they can't find his body for a death certificate.
No, and now she's fucking hopping around the place trying to make ends meet on her own now with the kid.
And all these
fucking
horses.
Fucking disaster. They ditched the horses, thank God. No, that's just some dead weight. They definitely didn't need a bunch of fucking like hobbling horses behind them. Just way too much stress in their lives. So anyway, So
too much stress.
Where
she
am I?
Self care.
So there was a few crimes leading up to the kills, right? Pazuzu had put his mother in a chokehold at one point.
Relatable.
In 2010. Yeah, I agree with that. No, and then in August of 2011.
The first relatable thing Pazuzu has done since 92.
Pazuzu pled guilty to misdemeanor assault charges against a former girlfriend. He was put on probation. So Pazuzu was in and out. And a month later, one of his wives, inverted commas, Amber, was charged with slapping and attempted to choke Pazuzu. And Amber was given a 12-month probation. Only 2 months into her probation, she was charged with assault and battery for striking someone else. So it's just a fucking
mess.
So
she's the mother, like?
No, she's one of the wives.
Sorry.
But the mother was a victim.
One of the wives.
Yes.
Now, were they doing any kind of, like, were they kind of having a big day? Weddings?
There was no big day. So anyway, on October 10, Pazuzu finally was charged with accessory after the fact of involuntary manslaughter of Josh. Finally, the police...
Involuntary manslaughter. And did they know that he had died from a gunshot wound, 9 gunshot wounds? And they're calling it involuntary manslaughter.
I think there was some... But because Pazuzu had had a...
Sorry, I'm like holding you personally responsible for that.
We are in America. And there was also a history of mental illness, obviously, from Pazuzu. So there had been, like, kind of a definite medical record.
Craft project. To offset the horror.
Yeah, I'm just going to focus on that instead of the...
So sorry, Legend.
The murder victims. But before that, police, shit, blood, so and police gunshot wounds.
Finally, we're like, okay, before that, in the... I don't know what led up to them actually taking it seriously enough to look into Pazuzu's fucking garden. But they finally did. And that was 2014.
Was his tomato plants flourishing?
His... They were... It was an
absolute... Do you ever remember that from The Last Supper? Do you ever see The Last Supper?
Yes, yes. It's
a fucking great movie.
Yes.
Do you ever see it, Cass? You'd love it.
What year?
Stupid.
That's funny.
Stupid bitch over there. Yeah, you were probably about 6.
Guys, I'm trying to... You keep distracting me.
Cameron Diaz.
I have things to say. 2014, the police finally get into the garden. They all wear
2014?
GoPros. What? So the whole thing is filmed. They filmed themselves.
If we'd been listening, we would have noticed that decades were passing.
It's just horrific.
They wear a GoPro. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube as they walk through the gaff. And they're like, what is this place? And they find kind of skeletal remains of 2 human people in the back garden.
Oh my God, so how long was Pazuzu at it?
Years. Years. The dead people had been there like 5 years.
Oh my God.
2010, 2011.
Dreaming, like, they're over there, I killed them, smells like shit, reeks of blood, where are all your animals, we've sacrificed them. And everyone's like,
The movie, it stopped recording.
Okay, just press it again.
There we go. So yeah, so that's, so they find these skeletal remains. The police are like, oh, okay, fine. Let's get the ball rolling on arresting Pazuzu forever and these wives that helped him bury the body. So Pazuzu was found then. So he was put in jail for like a few months before he was then found dead in a cell. So what he'd done with his razor sharp teeth was bit into the artery in his arm.
That's how we got in there.
In his arm, and he'd then... bled out.
Oh my God. So he vampired himself.
He did.
Oh my God. He did. Jen.
Amber, one of the people who helped do the fucking murder.
Do the orgies and
the
murder.
And the stuff. She took a plea deal of 2nd degree murder, armed robbery, and accessory to the fact with a sentence of 30 years. She admitted her role in one of the killings. Testifying she had shot him in the head twice.
Oh my God.
While he sat on the couch inside the home. It was all a fucking shit show. It was determined that Pazuzu used the same rifle months before to shoot Josh. From the decomposition evidence found inside his home, it's believed they let the body lay inside the residence for over 2 weeks before burying it.
Oh, lads.
Stinks. Bit of factory.
Pride. Taking pride in one's abode.
Yeah, an absolute shit show.
I'd love
story.
To see a crossover with the like an episode of How Clean Is Your House on this, though. You know, when they go around with the little swabs.
Oh, yeah, the blue.
Like, there's maggots.
I definitely feel like a crossover of Changing Rooms with Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
Yeah,
they need, would be amazing.
He probably wouldn't change a thing.
Like, well, I was going to say, I think he would be like sympathetic to the house's original aesthetic.
Yes.
While also incorporating some lovely touches.
Florals.
I was going to say, I know, Lawrence. Velvet wallpaper.
Yeah.
An accent
yeah.
In fact, wall.
This is actually very Lawrence.
This is very Lawrence.
I've kind of got some Lawrence sleeves going. I've brought up some of the walkthrough video. And like the first, so what they have, which admittedly is tricky for homeowners, is the front door opens directly into the living room. That's where you might want to incorporate a bit of zoning. Lord Barr is great on this.
The back of the couch.
Yes, just to demarcate the hallway portion of the living room to the lounge area. Mm-hmm. They have this living room is graffitied and stuck with shite.
It's collage,
floors,
Sophie.
Yeah, it's collage. Actually, I had some collage work of a similar nature in my bedroom in the mid 90s.
I know.
You remember it?
We all did.
We all did. Had this was like pictures torn from like Kerrang! And 17 and what was the one that was really filthy that we loved? More magazine, yeah.
Position of the Fortnite.
There is like swastikas graffitied on the ceiling. There is no like aesthetic choices being made. It is just fucking it all up everywhere.
Lads, I forgot about the worst bit.
Everywhere. What's the worst bit?
Sorry, I knew I was missing something.
Fucking Formica hell. It's disgusting. There's lino.
This whole time, Sophie, guess who was living in the house with them and heading off to work every day? Only Pazuzu's mum.
Oh my God, sorry. So I actually had that in my head.
Turns out Pazuzu's mum was there in the gaff, knew that the murders had happened. She somehow avoided any jail time.
Oh my God.
But she's interviewed by the kind of widow of Josh in the fucking documentary.
Oh my God.
So it's one of the last, it must be the last episode. It's brilliant. She goes to Pazuzu's mum's house. They sit together on the couch. They have this like
Wait, is it still the original house? No.
They have a cup of tea and Pazuzu's mother has photographs of Pazuzu as a small boy.
Yeah, he's quite cute as a little
boy pictures are more terrifying than grown up Pazuzu.
Yeah,
just for the innocence, like.
And she's kind of remembering the good times. She's at no point does she sort of
say, I could have tried to put a stop to this.
She's definitely now disassociated, but she's a very well-dressed lady. She seems, it's like, it's pretty strange. So she'd been living in this crack den and your one was like, so you were just heading off to work, every day? And she was like, yes, I know. I was just happy he had friends.
What? But he was killing them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's not great. It's not great, but you know, Pazuzu's dead now. So
what would you do if your children killed other people?
You know, you'd see it from their point of view.
Would you, do you think you'd jump to their defense no matter what?
No, not no matter what. No. It depends on why they've killed the person.
Oh, okay. There's actually a room back here now that's, I would say, a little more attractive.
That's probably where Pazuzu's mum hung out.
Perhaps. It's painted navy and there is some spray painting of kind of ghosts. Ghost faces on the wall, but there's a little chandelier.
Yeah, they actually, it's funny when you go on the walkthrough.
Do you know what the Pazuzu's house really
bedroom
looks like?
Is sort of kind of somewhat livable. So his kitchen, personal bedroom.
I mean, my own kitchen, I would say, rivals this kitchen. Oh, wait, I've just seen like the burnt out plug sockets. My electrics are in order.
He kept all his guns
like
in the dishwasher.
From interesting.
He had a dishwasher.
Kind of slots.
Yeah,
do you know what
makes sense
about this story? It's the one that
it's
has
really
induced
getting to me.
The closest of, like, I can
revulsion.
Feel vomit.
Yeah,
why?
In me. I don't know. It just, it's so horrendous looking.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's because you just know as well that with that kind of like early to mid 90s aesthetic, that like, ugh, everyone's just got like the way overplucked eyebrows, very bad dye job.
I mean, and
there's
it's very
no
blatant
contouring. It's just...
It's the Satan on the arm. I was only telling Sophie
bad
the other day. I remembered suddenly this great episode of Ricky Lake. Let me see if I can get it.
Oh my God, yes.
From
this story.
A woman who brought her daughter on and was like, my daughter is a Satanist. She's obviously a lesbian because she'd gotten an undercut.
Why are those...
Because she'd literally shaved a bit out of the head. And at the time, I remember being like, oh my God, that's mad. That's metal. That's crazy. What's going on? And the whole audience
what's
like,
going
oh,
on?
Why would that woman shave her head? She's obviously a Satanist, lesbian Satanist.
Why are those two things connected?
Because
those
why
three
else
things,
would you
undercut
shave?
Satanism and lesbianism.
Why else would
well,
you
shave? Well, maybe undercut and lesbianism,
your head.
The international sign.
She was initially. She was like, "Oh, I literally like my hair is very thick.
It's very thick."
It was like I was advised. It was like I'm not a Satanist. I can't remember. She was,
I mean,
like, but
we
she was really like,
pain.
It was a real like, "Oh, mom, it's fine. I've just shaved it." And there
just
she was
about the way the hair sits. Like
you have, sorry, you have an undercut.
Yes.
I never once considered
really
you to be a Satanist.
I really need to trim it. It's actually, look at it. It's come fully a little haircut of its own back there.
It is.
Yeah.
It's that, I mean, that's classic Ricky Lake.
Classic.
I mean, it's real early Ricky Lake because I see, like, there's other.
We're in the 90s, surely.
Oh, definitely in the 90s because I know that she, Ricky Lake herself had a shaved head.
Was Ricky Lake Mad standing bitch. For it?
No, I think was that now.
No, she's a hair loss. Oh, Ricky Lake has lost her hair. A hair loss battle.
Oh, poor Ricky.
What is this now? It's only 2020.
Oh my God. At one point in this walkthrough, they are just walking over a floor of trash.
Mm. One of the guys interviewed who was Nate, who was a heroin addict, there was a lot of footage of just him shooting up in the documentary. Jesus. And you know, it's just so depraved. You're just like, oh, lads, please.
It's just so
please, no.
Sad.
And of course, him and his girlfriend, then she gets pregnant and you're just like, oh, no. guys.
Oh, no.
Guys.
It's so sad.
It's sad. It is. So Nate talked about like being there just on the couch or whatever, doing heroin. And he described it as like, you could just, you know, pop a squat and take a shit in the corner. Pazuzu wouldn't mind at all. And you were
so
like, well,
convenient.
Well, did you mind? You then presumably would be remaining in the room with your own shit. I mean,
this, we are in a room here that has trash up to the bottom of the windowsills. So we're talking about at least thigh height, I'd say, in just debris and trash and presumably animal carcasses underneath all that.
Disaster. Anyway,
but
that's my story.
This is the fallout of a capitalist society.
Well, that's it.
I'm just going to say.
Well, it is because...
It fucking is because all of these people are just being left behind
well, that's
by
it.
The prosperity.
Ultimately, a lot of slipping through the cracks happened here.
Yeah.
Josh's
this
the
is
saddest
untreated
story.
Untreated mental illness, untreated addiction, like an apathetic attitude
totally.
To this.
Oh, completely.
These people...
And a total avoidance of dealing with the problem.
Shall we riot?
Yes, we shall.
Yeah.
It's not a one day action, as Adrienne Rich said. Rich or Rich?
Okay, which one are you?
I don't know who is going to pull us out of this hole.
Are pulling us out of this hole.
Sophie. I feel like mine is an Instagram catfisher. Builds this kind of world of lies. A couple of people have sent it to us. It's grand, do you know? Like, I'm intrigued to hear a catfishing story from Sophie.
Oh, okay.
Well, unless then, yours is about Lily Jean.
Do you want to take the hive?
Because
I've got some disgusting juice for you for the hive.
Oh, which will balance the hive then.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to just like reverse back out of raw video : inside Pazuzu Algarard Clemens' home.
Oh, I was on that
just
too.
Just get away from this.
500,000 views. Devo, comments off. Why do they do it?
It's so
Let
mean.
Let us have
isn't
the
it?
Comments.
Oh my God, I actually am going to vomit thinking about
Lads,
that guy.
Lads, just as a kind of hilarious aside, because I was sucked into the 90s and I'm on Juvenalia and guess what my topic is? So I'll be on a podcast.
Oh, you're doing it again?
Guess what?
Anyone who hasn't heard Jen's first go on Juvenalia, go back and watch it. It's all about fucking MSN Messenger.
But wait for this.
Okay, what are you doing?
Special subject, Eurotrash.
Oh, I know.
Very good.
I know, but there's so much. I'll come back and do more of it for the creep because it's absolutely brilliant.
It's just so much about my worldview.
Gorgeous.
Was informed by Eurotrash.
But did you know, and I somehow missed this, around the Brexit thing, Eurotrash came back for a Brexit special episode.
I did know that.
They have pulled from everywhere. You can't find Eurotrash on any of the, you know, the four on demand.
I know.
They've taken down all the YouTube, some of the production company. Anyway,
as Brian Wilson said, they just weren't made for these times.
Sophie, it was.
Not these times. No fucking way.
Sophie, yes, this is...
No.
Come on.
Implode with self-cancellation. Like, nothing would work.
Everything works about it because of the fun and the titillation.
Sorry, do you know what that just reminded me of? My creep of the week. Which is obviously not like a big thinker of a creep of the week. It's a really obvious one. But when you said Eurotrash and I in my head was like, this is what formed my worldview. My worldview has been rocked this week. So you guys have heard that Ghislaine Maxwell
has been arrested.
We've loads of...
Yeah, so the FBI now are demanding to re-interview Prince Andrew.
Get out of here.
Right? And like,
did he not somehow get himself immunity from the whole thing?
But they're not taking immunity for an answer, I think.
Yeah.
So I am rocked to my core because if they bring charges against Prince Andrew, it's going to undermine a very strong belief system that I have held tightly to since the at least early 2000s.
Where are you going?
Where am I going? Do you know about the kind of world order and how there is like you know, an upper echelon of rich and powerful that are so rich and powerful, we don't know their names.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I'm not talking about the giant lizard people, but I feel like the lizard people the is kind state. Of a metaphor. Yes.
It's the deep state.
Yeah.
The people who are controlling politics, who are so insanely
rich. They are controlling government.
Rich.
They are orchestrating natural disasters. All in my head. Like, I've just stuck firmly to this.
It's essentially, like, it's...
The Bilderberg group, but actually not them, because we don't even know the name of this.
No.
All right.
I believe. And now I'm like... Well, like, for fuck's sake, if they take in Prince Andrew and if he actually sees consequences, A, fan-fucking-tastic, B, I need to remake my entire concept of what this world is, because I just would have assumed that he would be protected till the end of the earth.
This is interesting, but,
So unless it goes even bigger than the monarch.
But when...
Yeah, but it does. It does.
Maybe they are just pawns.
The deep state.
And we're just the little nits on the heads.
You can't.
Of the
you can't
bones.
Let yourself go down this rabbit hole, because it is like world altering. I wrote it. I touched on the surface of it for a piece for Rogue.
An amazing piece. It's such a good piece. We need to put in the show notes.
The there's this whole conspiracy that comes from the leaked emails from Hillary Clinton and her emails to John Podesta.
Yes.
And in those emails, they're talking about a pizza parlor
called
Comet Pizza.
Pizzagate,
right? But that is like the tip of the iceberg with it and how many people it impacts. It is all connected to Jeffrey Epstein. So then when everything came back and everything was, you know, factual with Jeffrey Epstein, it's like, well... It obviously doesn't stop there. Like, it must go much further than that. But then it goes to the stage where, you know, QAnon, the informer from the White House that people believe in. And there's like this whole plethora of people who believe that Donald Trump is the only thing separating this world from complete and utter catastrophe. The whole idea is that there's this pedophilic ring that runs from Washington to Hollywood, and it's all the powerful people involved in it.
But what are the chances of all of and the powerful people being pedophiles? It feels
but
like they're
like, starting to fucking feel like they
look
are.
At, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, like, you would think if he's a pervert and a pedophile, what are the chances that he's just going to be like going on his day and meet others? But like, he does, you know, and he was working with other people, and he was obviously facilitating.
When Ghislaine.
Yeah.
Takes her own life.
Do you think she'll turn on all the power?
But I'm presuming that's
Jeffrey
what's going to happen
Epstein
to her.
Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, no, he absolutely
he
didn't.
He did not kill himself.
So she's going
but
down
she's
too.
She's
going
to go down the same way.
I mean, how the hell 100%. Else does it end for her?
But that's it. They're just having these people knocked off. There are some very fucking powerful people who are involved in this who are dodgy as fuck. But like, of course they're dodgy as fuck.
Oh, guys.
Okay.
Guys.
I mean, I don't even know if we had completed some in-depth research and embarked on talking about that, would we have any more definitive answers?
You can't. I've
it's
gone
so
deep
complex.
On it, and it's so, so complicated, and like, looked at the people who were like big drivers of QAnon, because it's mind-blowing, because it works not just because of the theories, but because of the way the theories are being disseminated to people, and like, the information that they're receiving on them, and then getting into this echo chamber where they're just seeing that information. But like, it is terrifying, because if you go into it and you start watching them, they're all presented like fact and news or whatever. Like, my brother sent me that video and genuinely believed the Tom Hanks pedophilia video to be true. And I had to go through with him about why he was...
What Tom Hanks
sorry,
pedophilia
this is the piece
video?
Cassie wrote, which is like, why does 5 million people on the internet believe Tom Hanks is
so, yeah,
pedophile?
This... One of the biggest creators of this is a guy called Buddha. All that's in my head is Moist Buddha, but that's a meme page. But his YouTube name is something Buddha. He's really big, and he creates all these like videos that explain these conspiracy theories, but like from the point where he's like, I'm telling the real truth. And he has a particularly good level of production. So they're produced like cinematic documentaries, right?
Okay.
And so when you watch it, you have that sense of authority from the video, because the production is so good. It's like, you know, 40 minutes long, looks well researched. It goes, but then it just goes into this mad time lapse of like him going through the internet and how he's pulling up all the different pieces of information, and how there's a basically it all, the Tom Hanks being a pedophile comes from the fact that Tom Hanks takes these pictures of lost items and posts them to his Instagram, like lost gloves, socks, whatever. And then in one picture, there's a phrase SRC USA. So he goes down a rabbit hole of Googling this, connects it then to this other conspiracy that is a term of BH kids, which is how pedophiles access child pornography on the internet, apparently. He managed then to find on one of the Tor browsers a connection from some of the same pictures that were tagged with BH
now,
kids.
Tor is how you connect to the dark web, isn't
the
it?
The deep web.
Deep web. Isn't it called the dark web?
Dark web, deep web. So like there's a difference. So the deep web is like the unindexed internet. And then like, or the dark web. And then it's like there's the unindexed stuff that like anyone can kind of access on a surface level. But then there's the deeper stuff, which is like 90% of the actual or like they say that the internet we access is only 10% of the actual internet. But like I went on tour the other day to for a story. I went way too deep in that story. I was trying to see if I could buy data. I could, but I also could buy cocaine, child pornography within 30 minutes of not having had access to it before, to being on it, to having an account, to having Bitcoin, to being able to purchase
whatever
guns,
you want,
hitman, drugs, Peruvian cocaine. Whatever you wanted. And like going from, it's just, it was so incredibly easy to access.
So back to that video thing.
So back to the video of Tom Hanks. So he connected that phrase to the phrase BH kids, in that the some he was finding some pictures of children in swimwear that were like from like kids modeling swimming clothes from clothing stores or whatever. They were tagged with both BH kids and SRC. He found all these links to kind of pictures that were tagged with both, and so then deemed Tom Hanks to be a pedophile. Also, there was an actor who, you know, he died by suicide, but definitely was creating all these videos, definitely seemed to be unwell, and was spouting on about Tom Hanks being a pedophile with no proof, just kept saying Tom Hanks is a pedophile. And then another woman tweeted that she was sold to Tom Hanks as a child.
This is
King hell.
None of this is substantiated.
None of it's substantiated.
So and that guy who's making the video is basically like, with that finding a connection between SRC or whatever, that is, you know,
Mouthy
everything
Buddha.
Looks like a nail if you've got a hammer.
Sure.
It's just confirmation bias.
Selecting,
yeah.
Exactly.
And is he doing that as an example of how easy it is to connect?
No. He's doing it as the video is called Pedogate 2020. It's Tom Hanks is a pedophile. I think that it's important to look at it and understand why people are landing at this as a belief, because there's so much more.
No,
I don't believe it, but I understand why people have come to it. So,
and to make the connection.
Yeah, so but immediately.
I feel like Pizzagate kind of was that.
Yeah, because when you watch one video on YouTube and you come out of it, the next time you go into your the recommends algorithm on YouTube is so powerful that it's designed to recommend content to you that you don't know you're interested in yet.
Yeah, and to reinforce some like tiny little scraplet of belief you have.
Yeah.
It's like you go on the internet, and the original kind of like intention of the internet was to educate like vast swathes of people. But instead, because of algorithms and the way they use our data, instead it actually is just taking your potentially narrow-minded, ignorant beliefs that you already hold and just reinforcing them, because you don't experience the internet of other people. You only experience the internet of yourself.
That's it. So everyone's universe, everyone's internet universe is totally individual and personalized, which when you're trying to buy shoes or trying to buy fabric and you want to get it cheaper,
works
really, really well, because they look at what you're looking at and they you know, target
suggest
something else
for you,
whatever. But like what has happened, and what is particularly dangerous and still really hasn't been addressed, is my history special topic, Cambridge Analytica. When those profiles were created, so they created psychological profiles on swing voters based on their Facebook history and their data and personality quizzes, right? But not just personality quizzes that people did, the personality quizzes that their friends and or the profiles that their friends and family had, because the personality quiz gave the developers access to pull all your data and pull all the data of your friends, right? But if you've been on Facebook for 10 years and you've been liking Avril Lavigne, and then I like whatever, and then I like this, whatever, they ran it through these kind of like psychological assessments where they were able to say, well, this person's preferences change like this over time. They're susceptible to this. They're kind of slightly right wing leaning, but they, you know, they might engage with this kind of thing, and really like created these really complex profiles on people that then they created content to target those people with specific messaging. So that's how, you know, Cambridge Analytica were deemed to be involved in Brexit and in the Trump election, right? So then after that, Facebook then created a kind of system where they were like, look, we're going to prioritize the content from your friends and family and established publishers. We're not going to give, we're not going to make it easy for these kind of like
And then they flag things that like appear to be fake news.
Yeah. And they very quickly shut down things that are clickbaity and aren't deemed to be like news, right? So again, that was kind of good. But in preferencing content from your friends and family, content that you engage with, essentially, again, it just creates that echo chamber. If you're in a community of people like either the serial killer cult communities that we saw last week or conspiracy theory cults or someone who believes in QAnon, you just get served that time after time after time. And you're just
and this the frequency world we don't that even something like that is suggested to you, it does sway your belief system.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? But like I do believe that some of that free jewelry on Instagram could change my life.
Yeah.
And at the very beginning, I was like, free jewelry, fuck off, you scammy bastards. Now I'm like,
what gets in on you?
It's actually taken hold.
Well, they put you on subscription and they just keep taking
and then they sell your fucking data and you enter the loop again.
It's mad.
The loop of misery. It's funny, I was only just this morning, just at 6 a.m., feeding my baby, reading that Tech Utopians Apologize for the Internet article from New York Magazine. Do you remember that? It was in like year before last. And it was really interesting that we're just talking about this, about how basically they, you know,
created something they can't control.
Yeah. Just and that's what genuinely I think, are horrified.
Yeah, because it's been hacked.
And now so many of the original creators are forming the lobby groups that are lobbying for tech companies to take responsibility for the addictive nature of their products and everything. Yeah. Like, which is pretty much the most damning thing.
Well, you design anything to be addictive. I think you have to take responsibility for it. And that's what people did. And like, whether they meant to or not, but a lot of them really did.
Like, a lot of them have confessed to, drawing on psychology of gambling and things like that to, like, help make the apps say or their products addictive.
But yeah, like so but many of the tech companies have more
successful.
So yeah, so they'll have more psychologists like, employed than they have developers.
Yes,
you know?
But like that's it exactly. It wasn't unintentional remotely. But I mean, I think
you'd naturally when you're designing a web page, like, and obviously we all work with them with Rogue as well. Like you look at it and you're like, what is going to entice people to read this? What is going to keep them reading it? Mm. What can I, you know? And you do
and
think like that.
What data can we mine as they do.
But like you think like that in a way that you wouldn't have in traditional media. You're like, I want to get the story. Whereas now it's so competitive. You know, in order to exist, in any way finance yourself, it is about keeping people on the
absolutely
page.
Absolutely. Our attention is the only commodity left in this world, virtually. Yeah. But it's still like traditional news media was always, it was still a behind it to try and sell to people your story or whatever. But yeah, It's mad.
Anyway,
that was just your creep. What time
is it? Sorry, that's we're an hour and
3 minutes. Yeah, because we need time for it. So thank you.
I didn't even intend to that.
You've done loads of research.
That's just always in the top of my head, and if someone opens it up,
casual topic.
Well, it's the Ghislaine. What's her face has kicked it off. So let's wait and see what happens to her.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Thanks, Kath. If you come, it looks like we have a juicy hive for you
if
next.
You have come this far.
So why not become a patron?
Now, consider this, listeners of The Creep Dive who are not patrons. Even if you just paid £4 right now this month.
One time.
You would have about, I'd say, what would we be up to about 20 episodes on there across the lives. 22. Yeah, there is like 22 episodes of live shows that there's had lots nudes. Of interaction and there's, fun.
There's a nude.
There's a
there
nude.
Is a, there is a nude. There's a picture of a famous person. God damn it. I'll show. We you had could just email me and I'll send it to you.
Oh, I couldn't even remember which nude. I was like, is it Trini's husband? Anyway, I mean, look, it's actually great value. Even if you just joined, throw us €4 sure. for a month and then cut
well,
us
keep
loose.
Keep us going. We want to keep
making the
creep
And you know how satisfying it
dark.
Is unsubscribing to people too. So you'd actually get both pleasures.
Get that little kick. Also, before we go, we have a happy birthday.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yay.
Yay. It's Katie Givens. Best friend to Harry.
Oh, happy birthday, Katie. And from also Harry a person in her own us. Right.
Okay.
Which
happy
Harry?
Birthday.
OG, other Harry?
OG Harry.
We've seen her, actually, I think, on the Zooms.
She never interacts. Very shy, apparently.
Was she not
we'll
a,
be
a
more
blonde
spied.
Lady sitting beside Harry?
I think she's got red hair.
Harry cheating on a...
Uh-oh.
Anyway, happy birthday to
happy
you.
Happy birthday, Katie. Thank you so much. We love the happy birthdays, especially
no,
because Jen
not all of us
hates
them.
Them
so
it's
much.
So
update
annoying.
On a toast to toast. A lot of support I say for a toast annoying. To toast. And it
oh,
is
Jesus.
Appreciated. Guys, if you would like to direct your encouraging messages about a toast to toast very directly to... At
don't,
Cassie
don't you
Lorraine
don't
on Instagram. She really loves hearing about how excited you all are for a toast to toast.
Okay.
And don't forget to
see
like,
you next,
subscribe,
oh yeah.
and hit what's that one like. You're writing? The notification bell.
On what though?
On
YouTube.
The YouTube.
Oh, fucking yes. That'll be up now. But we're it's so self-conscious, frightening.
Oh, yeah. It's very confronting. Isn't it?
Absolutely. I hate it.
Anyway, something will be up there.
YouTube will probably delete this because we talked about the QAnon conspiracy theory and how it's not true. Dun, dun, dun. Or it might be true. That's the thing. It might be true. Tom Hanks might be a pedophile. I don't know.
I feel like that is dangerous territory.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything. I'm reporting about a story. I didn't say I have any insight to Tom Hanks being a pedophile. I'm just explaining how people arrived at that conclusion.
Every time you say it, I go, ew.
Why are you the one getting upset?
I don't know.
This is you.
I feel like Tom Hanks
is
just
powerful. Lovely.
He's in the deep state. No, that's libelous. All right, bye.